Turn up the bass, man.
Your host,
Reverend Bill M., brings us
the devil's mischief,
carnal comedy clips, netherworld novelty of numbers, brought to you by RadioFreeSatan.com.
Episode number 691.
Welcome to the Devil's Mischief, carnal comedy clips, and netherworld novelty numbers right here on Radio Free Satan. The season of Thanksgiving is here again. I personally have always been a fan of Thanksgiving. I'm from Massachusetts, where it all started. New England, autumn, Halloween, Thanksgiving, pumpkin spice, everything. Just give it to me. Thanksgiving is the celebration of gluttony and sloth, as far as I'm concerned. Two wonderful sins of the seven deadly sins. So every year on The Devil's Mischief, I try to do some kind of special episode for Thanksgiving. Sometimes I'll put together some Thanksgiving-related comedy and novelty clips. Other times, though, I'll just do what is called a Thanksgiving Leftovers special. Because just as Thanksgiving feasts have their share of leftover food that you have to put away and reheat later, there are some clips I have to trim off here and there from past episodes of The Devil's Mischief as I'm making a new episode each time. And they get trimmed either because I just have too many tracks from the same comedian in that episode, or I just want to shorten the episode in general, or whatever. So in this episode, you will hear some comedy I had to leave out of one episode or another from the past year or two. I did a St. Patrick's Day episode, so I have a bit from Dennis Leary that was left out of that, along with some George Carlin. Also, a Bob Newhart clip cut from the Bob Newhart Memorial, I think it was. I also did a memorial episode in memory of my father who passed away, so you'll hear a block of father-related comedy as well. In recent years in my personal life, I bought a farm and became a farmer. Besides all of my livestock with chickens and ducks and quail, I have two turkeys who, long story short, ended up being raised as pets rather than livestock. I post photos of them on Facebook and X. Many of my chickens, though, have certainly become food, as they were intended to do. And I have learned a lot in the past about the chicken cleaning process. So with that, here's a prank call from Bubba the Love Sponge on chicken plucking, or something that rhymes with that.
Houston Adult Sports, may I help?
I was calling about, I don't know if this is the right number, your chicken plucking contest.
Yeah, hold on a second, one minute.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
I was calling about the chicken plucking contest.
Right. It's on June 30th.
June 30th?
Yes.
Well, that's good. Is it open to anybody?
It's open to anybody. We'd love to have you come down.
Because, I mean, I'm the greatest, one of the greatest chicken fuckers of all times.
Really?
I can fuck 60 chickens in 1 hour.
Oh, you think we're saying fucking? It's clucking.
Oh,
as in calling chickens.
Oh, shoot. See, I've been training. I've been fucking 100 chickens a day for 2 weeks.
Well, my gosh. I guess you're just going to have to give your a rest and give your voice some training.
But, well, you know, I'm open to anything. I'm, you know, raised on a farm. I could probably do some chicken calling, too.
Okay.
Buck, 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 buck.
That's it.
Shoot, I'm really disappointed, though. I could put on a chicken fucking exhibition beforehand.
Well,
people come from miles around to watch me fuck a chicken.
We'd love to have you.
Well, okay. Well, my name's Ned.
Okay, Ned.
And I was planning on bringing a bunch of chickens to fuck, but...
Well, no, you don't need to go that far.
Okay, well,
you need to bring yourself in a good voice.
How about I just bring a homeless guy in a chicken suit and fuck him? Listen, I think you think this is a joke. I mean, look, I really fuck chickens.
Really?
I'm a chicken f***er from way back. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes.
How about turkey f***ing?
Hello?
Well, by the way, I prefer to call it making love to chickens. Chicken f***ing sounds so nasty. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, listen, I want to give you a sample of my chicken f***ing.
Ben?
I mean, I know it's over the phone,
Ben?
And you won't get the full effect of me fucking a chicken alive, but it's still pretty hot.
Ben?
And don't worry, call PETA on me or nothing. The chickens love it. Okay, here we go. Here, chicky, chicky. She's playing hard to get. I'm gonna have to sweet talk her. Come on, baby. You know you love it. Come on. Oh, okay. Oh, chicken foreplay there. Okay, she's ready. Oh, yeah. Oh, whoa. Tell me you love it. Oh, God. Oh, tell me, Colonel Sanders. Tell me, Colonel Sanders. Oh, yeah. Cluck dirty to me. Oh, yeah. Now you on top. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What? You want it doggy style? Oh, kinky chicken. Oh, I love that. Kinky chicken, kinky chicken. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, here comes the Colonel's original recipe.
Oh, yeah. Finger licking good. Hello.
I used to be Irish Catholic. Now I'm an American. You know, you grow. Yeah. I was from one of those Irish neighborhoods in New York, one of those kind of parish schools. Wasn't typical. It was Corpus Christi was the name of it. Could have been any Catholic church, right? Our Lady of Great Agony. St. Rita Moreno. Our Lady of Perpetual Motion. What's the difference? What you call it, you know? The church part and the neighborhood part were typical, but the school was not. It wasn't one of those old-fashioned parish kind of prison schools with a lot of corporal punishment and systematic discipline with the steel ruler, right? Oh, my hand! Oh. And you'd fall 2 years behind in penmanship, right?
Well, he's behind in penmanship, Mrs. Carlin. I don't know why.
He's crippled. He's trying to learn to write with his left hand. You know? We didn't have that. I got lucky, you know, got into a school where the pastor was kind of into John Dewey and progressive education, and he talked the diocese, into experimenting in our parish with progressive education and whipping the religion on us anyway and see what would happen with the two of them there. And, worked out kind of nice. There was a lot of classroom freedom. There was no, for instance, there were no grades or marks, you know, no report cards to sweat out or any of that. There were no uniforms. There was no sexual segregation, boys and girls together. And the desks weren't all nailed down in a row, you know. They were movable desks and you had new friends every month. It was nice. Like I say, a lot of classroom freedom. In fact, there was so much freedom that by eighth grade, many of us had lost the faith. Because they made questioners out of us, and they really didn't have any answers, you know. They'd fall back on,
well, it's a mystery.
Oh, thank you, Father. Mystery? I don't know. What's he talking about? Mystery.
Part of class clown was being an imitator, as you probably noticed, but I used to imitate the priests, which was right on the verge of blasphemy, you know. I could do them all rather well. I did Father Byrne the best. Father Byrne was the one who used to celebrate the children's mass. I always thought that was great, to celebrate mass. Yeah, man. Father Byrne did the children's mass, did the sermon every week. He used to do parables about Dusty and Buddy. Dusty was a Catholic, and Buddy was not. And Buddy was always trying to talk Dusty into having a hot dog on Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome...
the Lord of the Dance, Mr. Dennis Leary!
A fiddly diddly 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 diddly. I am the Lord of the Dance! Fuck Michael Flatley, it's me! The Lord of the Dance. The Fuhrer of the Dance. The Meister of the Dance. The fuck? Does that make Patrick Swayze the President of the Dance, Michael? Lord of the Dance. Where's the balls to call themselves the Lord of anything, huh? Come on. Last time somebody called himself Lord, on this planet, he got crucified, Michael, okay? And we know where the hammer and the nails are. We can put you up in a couple of minutes. Have you seen that show? If you have, get out. Get the hell out of my show right now. If you've seen that show, if you own that videotape, leave right now. You seen the ads for this show? With him dancing out there with his little flat stomach and his faggy little bullfighting jacket on and his Jackie Stallone headband and his pirate shirt flowing in the wind. Come on. Folks, I'm Irish, okay? You've seen us dance at weddings. We don't dance like that. We dance like this. Turn up the bass, man. Except for the sober Irish guys. They're over in the corner dancing like this. That's the way I dance, actually, in real life. How sad is that? Lord of the Dance. You want to do that show the right way? Get some big, fat, beer-bellied Irish guys out there in those bullfighting jackets, huh? Let them dance and drink and punch their relatives at the same time. Bob, what happened to your nose? It's broken. I was at my cousin's wedding last night. It beat up my mom. I love her. She loves me. There's a big boom in Irish culture right now. I was in Barnes & Noble the other day, and I saw a book entitled Irish Cuisine, and I laughed my balls off, okay? Irish Cuisine. What are we famous for cuisine-wise? We put everything in a pot, and we boil it for 17 and a half hours straight. Until you can eat it with a straw. Thanks, Ma. Where's dessert? Okay, there it is. Thanks, Ma. That's not a cuisine, folks. That's penance. That's what that is, all right? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I just blew Father O'Grady. What should I do? Eat your supper through a straw. I mean, I love Ireland, but you know, they're a tad behind the times, don't you think? They just voted divorce in Ireland last summer. Yeah, we're 3 years away from the millennium. We're about to colonize Mars, and they just voted divorce in. Wow. Wow. Hang on for another 2,000 years, you might get the Playboy Channel. Ooh. Ooh. Blowjobs are a long way off in that country, folks. We're hoping to vote the blowjobs in around 2050. Because right now we're only allotted about 3 blowjobs a year and they all go to Michael Flatley!
Life is full of little moments that we never seem to mention to each other. Do you ever look at your watch and immediately forget the time, so you have to look again? And still it doesn't register, so you have to look a third time? And then someone asks you what time it is and you actually have to look at your watch for the fourth time in 3 minutes? Don't you feel stupid? Do you ever find yourself standing in a room and you can't remember why you went in there? And you think to yourself, maybe if I go back where I was, I'll see something that reminds me of it. Or maybe it would be quicker if I just stand here and hope it comes back to me. Usually as you're weighing those two options, two words float across your mind. Alzheimer's disease. Do you ever have to sneeze while taking a piss? It's frightening, isn't it? Deep down, you're afraid you'll release all sorts of bodily fluids into your pants. What people don't realize is that it's physically impossible to sneeze while pissing. Your brain won't allow it. Because your brain knows you might blow your asshole out and wind up having to repaint the entire apartment. Have you ever noticed how sometimes all day Wednesday, you keep thinking it's Thursday? Then the next day, when you're back to normal, you wonder why you don't think it's Friday. Have you ever been sitting on a railroad train in the station, and another train is parked right next to you, and one of them begins moving, but you can't tell which one, and then it becomes obvious, and all the magic is gone? Wouldn't it be nice if we could spend our whole lives not knowing which train is moving? Actually, we do.
Satansplain, Satanic Talk with Church of Satan Magister Bill M.
Well, it's not Satan worship, it's Satanism. It's embracing the life-enriching things which have traditionally been given the devil's name. Pride, lust, earthly success, rational self-interest, atheism, humor, nonconformity, science, a passion for living, being selective about whom we love. We don't see these as shameful sins, but empowering ideals. And we also recognize the psychological power and fun of symbolism and aesthetics, so we utilize Satan as mythology's most fitting mascot for what we're about.
Listen to Satansplain. Learn more at satansplain.com.
Bill, I'm here with the Devil's Mischief. Visit the show's website, devilsmischief.com. Drop me an email. bill@devilsmischief.com is the email address. And if you like the Devil's Mischief and like the show's mascot, Satan Bear, the 10-inch tall demonic teddy bear, well, you can get Satan Bear on a t-shirt or a coffee mug and other items in the Satansplain store. Go to store.satansplain.com. That is store.satansplain.com. We also, of course, have merch there for Satansplain, as well as for Dr. Shit's PhD in Satanic Memes. That's all at store.satansplain.com. But also check out the other shows on Radio Free Satan. The Devil's Mischief is just one of the shows on Radio Free Satan. Go to radiofreesatan.com and listen to other shows, like The Metro with Reverend Jeff Ivins, a trip back to the 80s with an assortment every week of 80s pop, post-punk, and new wave. It's like a total environment for your eardrums. Also on Radio Free Satan, Infernal Legion, and some other older shows, too, I think you can still find on the site if you search around. That's all on RadioFreeSatan.com. Well, we started this episode of The Devil's Mischief off with a prank call from Bubba the Love Sponge, along with some clips from George Carlin and Dennis Leary. Earlier this year, I had an episode I dedicated to my father, who had passed away. I played some comedians I knew he really liked, along with some clips on fathers in general, fathers being the theme. So here's a block of some father-related comedy that didn't make the cut the first time around. Enjoy these comedy leftovers from The Devil's Mischief.
I was going to say I was recently married. I was married January 12th, and we had a son 5 weeks ago. Now, to save you the trouble of counting on your fingers... that works out. It works out. But they say that a man can never have a child because he could never stand the pains that a woman goes through in delivering a baby. And this is true. But a man does go through a little hell, too, you know. And after you're all finished and you have the baby, you begin to wonder how the world ever got overpopulated, because everybody swears, that's the last one, that's the last, I'm not going through that again, I'm not going through that. What happens, you read books, and you can read all the books in the world, and it isn't going to cover it, you know. But when it actually happens, believe me, you will turn to jelly like I did, and like every other expectant father does. My wife is very calm about it. I'm lying in bed, and I just heard some noise or something, a suitcase, and I wake up, and I say, what's the matter, honey? And she says, I think we better go to the hospital. Now, my immediate reaction is to just panic, but you've read in these books that you should be very calm. So I tried to be calm. I said, okay, honey. I said, now have you been timing the contractions? She said, yes, they're about 5 minutes apart. Well, now, one of the books said this means 6-7 hours, and we're 45 minutes from the hospital. But that's another thing you'll find out, that all obstetricians, any self-respecting obstetrician, will always have his office 45 minutes away from the hospital that he practices at, you see, and it's usually about an hour away from your home. This is for the father's benefit, so he can go crazy on the way to... because you always have visions of having to deliver the baby, you know, and this can turn you into dealing. Anyway, I'm trying to be very calm. I said, all right, honey, you finish packing the suitcase. And by the way, you never use anything in the suitcase. They tell you to pack a suitcase. This is just to give the wife something to do while the husband is getting dressed, because you take the little bag down to the hospital and they shove it off in a corner and they give it to you when you leave, you know, and it's never opened. So I went in the bathroom and I shaved and I put the band-aids on my face. Came out, you know, and I said, well, okay, honey, I think we'd better go. And she said, aren't you going to call a doctor? I said, of course. That's very good. He should know about it. He said, you should. So he can be there, or at least a representative of his. So I went into the den, very calmly looked up his number in the phone book, and dialed his number, picked up the phone, and said, Billy! And hung up, and we went down, we got in the car, you know, we're driving along, and we're about 15, 20 minutes on our way to the hospital, and my wife says, you know, you call the doctor. I said, yeah, honey. I said, Dr. Miller would be down there about half an hour, you know, and nothing. She said, Dr. Miller's my dentist. What the hell do you call my dentist? So I said, well, they talk to other doctors, and, you know, I'm sure he'll know what to do, you know. If a cab driver can deliver a baby, certainly a dentist can, you know. And, of course, whenever you're in a hurry, there's always two people in front of you who are practicing for a parade of some kind. They're going about 2 miles an hour, you know. And my wife is timing the contractions now on the auto clock, and they're not too reliable anyway, you know. And they're about 3 minutes apart, and this is beginning to worry me a little bit. So I'm zooming down Wilshire, and I finally get to the hospital and figure, you know, finally, well, we're here. There are a lot of doctors around and nurses, so my concern should be over, but it's not over. This is really when your troubles start. This hospital we went to is a strange hospital because they have a parking lot, and you have to put a quarter in this slot, and then the gate comes up. You know, they don't work on the honor system. Apparently, they figure, you know, you're going to drop your wife off and then take off to Acapulco or something, so, you know, till it's over. And it's not the easiest thing to hit at 20 miles an hour, which is which is about what I was doing when we arrived at the hospital. But finally, we got inside, and you go to the admitting office, you know, and there's a nurse there. She says, how do you do, sir? And what is your name? I said, my name is Newhart. She said, all right, Mr. Newkirk, and is this your wife? I said, no, this is a hitchhiker. She was she was hitchhiking down here to the hospital, and, you know, it's right on my way to work, and it isn't that far out of the way, so I figured I'd drop her off. She said, well, we have to have the husband sign the paper. I said, I am the husband. I was just a little attempted humor there. And she said, now, sir, do you have Blue Cross or any other hospital plan? And I'm getting a little panicky now. I said, look, could I possibly, you know, answer the questions while you take my wife upstairs, you know? And she said, well, no, we need your wife to sign the form at the end of it, you know? So I said, well, if you wait about 15 minutes, all three of us can sign can sign this form. That's very important. And with this, she panicked because she wasn't a nurse, it turned out. She's a clerk at the hospital, and she wouldn't have known what to do, you know, if the baby came there. So she got her in the elevator and got her upstairs. And they have two wonderful rooms, wonderfully titled rooms. They call one the labor room, and the other one is called the hard labor room. You know? In other words, you're going to scream your head off in this room, you know, which makes the wife feel great. You know? And you're allowed now to stay with your wife for a while until she goes into the hard labor room. So finally, they take my wife into the hard labor room, and you can find nothing out from any hospital people if you're an expectant father. You are the lowest form of life in a hospital. No one, even maintenance people, will have nothing will have nothing to do with it. And there are people running around, you know, with various assorted pans of one kind or another, with worried looks on their faces. And I don't think they're nurses. They're just people that are hired to run around looking worried, because this makes the father feel better, you know, that they're concerned. And then they have the father's room. It's sort of a torture chamber that they've devised to drive the father nuts while the wife is having the baby. And this is filled with guys you just wouldn't believe. You know, they're all sitting like that. And there's one guy in there who has just had a baby, and he is superior to everybody else, you know. He's sort of gloating, you know. And, of course, I'm trying to get information out of him, you know, and I say, gee, they just took my wife into the hard labor room. Like, what will it be, 15, 20 minutes, I guess? No. So, no. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, 5, 6, 7 hours. He said, you see that poor guy over there in the corner? 32 hours he's been here. And there's a guy in the corner, he's not making any sense at all. He's going, mom. So as I say, I don't know how the world ever got overpopulated, because we swore we would never do it again. But it has a happy ending, because we had a little son, Robert William, and he was 7 pounds, 14 ounces. And, oh, I became a father officially the other day. You're officially a father, you know, when the baby is born, but you aren't really a father until your baby has gone all over you. And my son went all over me the other day, and I'm a member of an exclusive fraternity now. But believe me, when it happens, it's wonderful.
But you see, fathers are more fun than mothers because fathers are the only people in the house who are allowed to have gas. And they don't care either. They just sit right there and... And you always know when they're finished because they say, oh, boy. My father would do it and blame it on invisible animals. You see that elephant run under there? And my brother was dumb enough to look for it. Now here comes my mother. All right, did... Oh, Lord, what happened in here? So, Mom, there's an elephant under Dad's chair. Did you see it? No, but it lifted Dad up about 2 feet. Do you know my father's favorite game? Come here and pull my finger. Thank you for coming. Take care of yourselves. Good night. Thank you.
Black men like to claim the house when they're drunk. Men, period, I think, man, like to just claim their house. They want you to know if you drunk and if they drunk and you in their house, that is their house. My father stand up in the middle of the cookout and say, "It's my house." You know what it is? And if you don't like it, you get the fuck out. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I pay the motherfucking bills in this motherfucker. And hey, kiss my ass if you don't like it. Yes. Yes, motherfucker, yes. But you know what it is? You know what it is? I'm drunk. So what? Beautiful. I'm drunk. I'm drunk. So what? I'm drunk. You know what? I got drunk in my motherfucking kitchen. I was drinking out of my glass in my motherfucking house. So fuck it. Then he attacked the whole family, right? He said, Gus, ask a question. Come here. Here's the question, Gus. Gus, let me ask you a question. Gus, why is the fire so big? Why do you make the fire so big, Gus? Look at that shit. It's a motherfucking ridiculous, Gus. The fire's too motherfucking big. Why? You come in here every motherfucking year, Gus, and you burn down my motherfucking backyard. Why? I'm cooking motherfucking hamburgers and Franks. I'm not cooking a motherfucking brontosaurus burger in this motherfucker. This ain't the motherfucking Flintstones, Gus. My house, motherfucker. Look at Charlie standing over there with third-degree burns on him. Eating a motherfucking Frank. It doesn't make sense, no, but you take things too far, Gus. You take things too far. I tell you go an inch, you go 3 inches. I tell you go 4 inches, you go 5. Give a nigga rope, you wanna be a cowboy, Gus. Why don't you listen? Oh, Eddie, get that motherfucking dog away from my plate. I'm gonna shoot this dog. I'm gonna shoot the motherfucker. Shut up, I'm gonna shoot it. Stop crying. Stop crying, Eddie, because you can get the fuck out. You can get the fuck, I know you're seven. But you'll be a 7-year-old walking the dog, no house motherfucker. Because it's mine, motherfucker. I hate this motherfucking dog. Because you ask me for the dog, you don't spend time with the dog, Eddie. You don't feed the motherfucker. You don't pet it. You don't even know what the fuck the dog's name is anymore, do you? The dog don't give a fuck. He don't know his name. The dog is 3 years old, don't know his name. Watch this. Coco, where the fuck is he going? The dog's stupid because you don't spend time with the motherfucker. And I'm supposed to work hard all day. I come home and feed the motherfucking dog. Fuck no, I'm not feeding the motherfucker. You know what I do? When nobody's home, you know what I do? I go up to the dog and I kick the motherfucker. I kick the motherfucker with everything I got, Eddie. And then I giggle my motherfucking ass off. Because I hate the motherfucker. Because you don't clean up behind it. Why can't you clean up the motherfucking... This ain't Scooby-Doo, motherfucker. Why can't you clean the dog? The dog shits all over the house. If no one tells you, Eddie, you don't clean the shit. You let the shit stay forever. It's shit that's been in the den for 6 months, Eddie. It's been in the den for 6 months. Your kids go past it, you act like you don't see it. And unless you're told, you won't clean the shit. The shit is hard as a rock now. It's like motherfucking furniture in there. I went in last week to watch the fights. I said, fuck it. I put my drink on top of it, Eddie. It's a coffee table now. Why can't you clean up shit? My friends come over and say, oh, that's lovely. I said, that's not lovely. It's a piece of shit. Because my children don't listen. Then my Aunt Bunny would fall down the steps almost every year. Ever have a heavyset aunt fall down the steps? Make a whole lot of fucking noise. It's scary too, because they be calling Jesus on the way down. And aunts don't like to fall straight down the steps like a kid. They be trying to break the fall and hold it and stop the shit. And that just make the fall take a half hour then. Real loud, yeah, like.
Lord Jesus Christ, help me, Lord, please, Jesus, please. Jesus, God, help me, Lord, Jesus, help me, I'm falling down the steps, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, please. My shoe. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, help me. I'm halfway down.
The bitch is falling down the steps again.
Oh, oh.
Gus, what the fuck is wrong with your wife? Why can't she walk a flight of steps? You come over every motherfucking year, Gus, and you burn down my motherfucking backyard, and your wife rips down the steps. Why? I work hard to get my place beautiful. And then the motherfucker come over and rip the steps down. Look at the motherfucking steps, they're fucked up, Gus. Why can't she walk the steps? You know why your wife can't walk the steps? Because she's a fat, hairy bitch. That's why. That's why, Gus. And my children are afraid of your wife. Eddie's afraid of her. He has nightmares about your wife. I went in his room last week, Gus. He was in the bed screaming, crying. I said, oh, help me, help me. I said, woke him, I shook him, said, what's wrong? He said, Aunt Bunny is coming to get me. He's afraid of your wife because she has a bigger mustache than his father. But you know what it is, Gus? I figured out about your wife. And I'm going to say it. And my wife, I don't give a fuck what my wife says. She can shut the fuck up. I'm going to tell you something. I figured out about your wife. I know where you met your wife. You told me you met your wife 15 years ago on a motherfucking camping trip and that your wife was Puerto Rican. Your wife ain't no motherfucking Puerto Rican. I thought she was when I first met her, Gus. Because I walk up, I said, hello, it's good to meet you. My name is Vernon. And she said, hello, I'm Bunny. Goony Google. What the fuck does Goony Google mean, Gus? I don't know what the fuck that shit is to this day. I thought I'd learned some new Spanish shit. I went up to my friend, I said, hey, Sanchez, Goony Google. And Sanchez said, get the fuck out of here. So I've been walking around for years confused, and I finally figured out about your wife, where you met your wife. You didn't meet your motherfucking wife on no camping trip. Your wife's a Bigfoot, isn't she, Gus? Your wife is a Bigfoot, isn't she? That's why the bitch mustache is so motherfucking thick. But you shaved the bitch down and taught her to speak. I know a motherfucking Bigfoot when I see one. Don't bring a Bigfoot in my home, Gus, with my children. The bitch can't talk, she can't walk a flight of steps. She's not trained well, Gus. She cannot walk steps. I bet she climbed the fuck out of a tree though, don't she, Gus? Doesn't she? But you had to not bring her around here. Fuck her. And your motherfucking children, they're big feet too. They're half Bigfoot, Gus. Cause the motherfuckers is 6 years old and have afros 17 inches long. They're little hairy motherfuckers just like their mother. Look at the motherfuckers. You know when I found out that they was Bigfoot? When I realized your wife was a Bigfoot when I took your kids fishing last week. I put the motherfuckers in the boat, Gus, and I took the worm and I put it on their hooks, and they both sat there, and they put the poles down in the motherfucking boat and slammed their face in the water for 2 minutes. And I think, what the fuck are these kids doing? Then they start moving their head like this, and the motherfuckers come up with fish. I jumped back and said, can you believe this motherfucking shit? Then a kid took the fish out of his mouth and looked at his brother and said, Goony Google. What the fuck is going on?
You have been listening to The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan. Thank you for tuning in to the 2024 Thanksgiving Leftovers special. I'm going to finish now with one more clip from George Carlin. This is a routine that he originally did in 1988 on his HBO special, What Am I Doing in New Jersey? But he also put it in his 2002 book, Napalm and Silly Putty. So here is George Carlin reading his expanded version from that book. Thank you again for listening. See you next time. Hail Satan. Bye-bye.
This is a list of people I can do without. Guys in their 50s named Skip. Anyone who pays for vaginal jelly with a platinum credit card. An airline pilot wearing two different shoes. A proctologist with poor depth perception. A pimp who drives a Ford Escort. A gynecologist who wants my wife to have three quaaludes before the examination. Guys with a lot of small pins on their hats. Anyone who mentions Jesus more than 300 times in a 2-minute conversation. A dentist with blood in his hair. Any woman whose hobby is breastfeeding zoo animals. A funeral director who says, "Hope to see you folks again real soon." A man with only one lip. A Boy Scout master who works at a dildo shop. People who know the third verse to the Star Spangled Banner. Any lawyer who refers to the police as the Federales. A cross-eyed nun with a bullwhip and a bottle of gin. Guys who have their names printed on their belts. A brain surgeon with Born to Lose tattooed on his hand. Couples whose children's names all start with the same initial. A man in a hospital gown directing traffic. A waitress with a visible infection on her serving hand. People who have large gums and small teeth. Guys who wear the same underwear until it begins to cut off the circulation to their crotch. And any woman whose arm hair completely covers her wristwatch.
Darn, that's the end.